All right, they'll be passing those outlines out. I hope those outlines are a help to you as we go through these different verses of Scripture and passages. And we will have a few more of the lessons here in Hebrews chapter 11. As we have, this will be our, I think, our 12th lesson so far in this this book. And there's four or five more, I guess, before we complete the chapter. And so we're going in quite a bit of detail, but still you can go back and do this all over again and have some different thoughts and some different ways of studying these verses. But we are looking at these men and women that are listed in Hebrews chapter 11 and just calling them the heroes of the faith. And these are those that the Bible tells us, as we've stated just about every session, we've stated there verse number 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. And then from that passage on, or from that verse on, the writer of Hebrews begins to tell us about the elders that obtained that good report. We've gone through a number of different ones. We had Abel and Enoch and Noah, and on down through the different passages. And this will be our third lesson upon the subject of Moses, one of the real important characters of the Old Testament, and by his faith he obtained a good report. There are four major areas of Moses' life that are given in the 11th chapter, and we have already discussed his childhood, and that was under the faith of his parents, and then the choices that were made, and then tonight we're going to be dealing with his courage. We have studied the first two and of the four, and tonight we take the third one of the courage, and certainly had to have much courage to do what Moses did in the face of tremendous task, tremendous difficulty in the task of leading the Jewish people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. By faith, Moses did overcome these obstacles that were before him, and he obtained a good report. So let's read verse number 27 tonight. We read it last week in connection with what we were dealing with, but tonight we'll look at a different facet of verse 27 concerning his courage. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Tonight we look at this man Moses and the courage that he had to demonstrate to do the work that God had given to him. Not everything that the Lord gives us to do is easy. Much of it is difficult. Much of it is hard, and sometimes it's very, very strenuous, and sometimes very dangerous. I think of our missionaries. I think of those that are in different portions of the world that they are serving the Lord, and they are there because of the call of God. And even in the midst of that, they have the troubles and the trials that come their way, and they have to demonstrate great courage to do the work of the Lord. And the Bible says here that by faith that he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. This by faith comes about 40 years later in life, other than the one in verse number 24. Verse 24 says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And so there's an action that Moses did, and that he did by faith. And now we come to verse number 27. We see the same two words starting off. By faith, Moses forsook Egypt. So 40 years before, he forsook Pharaoh and the people of Egypt and all the things that were connected with being an Egyptian, giving up his adoptive family, giving up possibly even being a ruler or a Pharaoh in Egypt. And he forsook that, and the Bible says here that he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures that Egypt had. So there we find his forsaking of Egypt, and now again we find by faith he forsook Egypt. We find here tonight that he certainly, we see that his faith survived a lot and experienced much in those 40 years. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Now we must understand that the reason that Moses was able to do this and survive the decision that he had made to leave Egypt and to lead the children of Israel out, we must understand that he had to have victory over the flesh. Because fleshly speaking, it was going to be a lot easier to stay in Egypt than it would be to go and lead the people out of Egypt. His decision was to be no longer identified with Pharaoh and to be identified with Egypt. He had victory over the flesh, and sometimes that is very difficult. And if we're not careful, the flesh will rise up. And so Paul tells us to take heed to that, to take heed lest we think we're doing okay and think we're doing all right in our life. And so Moses' perseverance of his faith survived the decision. He had chosen that he was no longer going to be identified, and now he takes, and by faith, he survives, and he goes to do the work of the Lord and to do the things that God warned him to do, and he is now going to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt and lead them into the promised land. He did not understand. He did not see all the ins and outs of that because, of course, we know that it took 40 years to get there. It should have been a 3 or 4 day journey. And it took them 40 years to get to the place of the promised land. So the decision that Moses made was a decision that helped him to have victory over the flesh and to do what God had for him. His faith survived that decision. Not only did it survive the decision, it survived the desert. We'll find these 40 years now from verse number 24 to verse number 27 was spent on the backside of the desert. Now, we're not going to go back and get all the details of that, but the Scripture tells us that he was a shepherd for his father-in-law. Moses had to run, had to leave Egypt for fear. Remember the story that he rose up and he killed an Egyptian man. And because of that action, he had to flee. And he goes to Midian. He goes to that land of Midian, and there he has a wife, and he is on the backside of the desert, and he's a shepherd. And his faith survived the desert experience. I'm certainly understand that desert could shake his faith. And desert places and desert spots in our lives sometimes shake our faith. We're not as strong maybe as we think we are. We're not as strong as we hope we would be. And now he has gone to the desert, and Acts chapter 7 verse 20 tells us that he was a shepherd. It's quite a demotion from being in the palace to being a shepherd. He has to remember now he's raised in the palace. He's raised as a child of Pharaoh, a grandson of Pharaoh. And now he's on the backside of the desert, just a lowly shepherd. But yet he still maintains his faith. His faith survived the disappointments. When he had decided to leave the palace, he thought it maybe would be the deliverer immediately. And there is where he presents himself as the deliverer to the Jews, and they reject him. They said, "Who's made you to rule over us?" And they reject Moses and all the actions and the things that he did. And so I'm sure when he first made his choice to go away from Egypt and forsake his parents, his adoptive parents, I'm sure he thought maybe he would be the leader immediately. But now there's 40 years passing by. And on the backside of the desert, and there's no reason to think that God maybe would ever use him. But yet his faith survived the disappointment. And his idea of being the deliverer of Israel probably had gone back into the back resources of his mind. He had been rejected, and a huge disappointment of his home and of his life has come about him. But yet he still has faith in the Lord. We notice here the fourth thing, his faith survived the decades. You see, sometimes time is an enemy of faith. After 40 years, Moses still has a by faith. After 40 years of discouragement, and after 40 years in the desert, after 40 years of disappointment, it's a wonderful thing that we can read verse 27 and still say, by faith. Sometimes faith destroys or is destroyed by the time that passes. His faith continued for these 40 years of inactivity, and God blessed him, and God brought him back to a place where he could be used of God and literally be the deliverer that he knew that God had chosen him to be. But his timing was off, and he didn't use his abilities that God had given him. So he just jumps out there and he says, God's chosen me to be the deliverer, and so I'm just going to do that. And it wasn't in God's timing. And so he's disappointed. He has to run. He has to leave. He fears the Pharaoh. He fears the leadership of the country. And he has to leave because of that. And there God teaches him for 40 years this thing of patience and things that had to have. And certainly that was, I'm sure, good for him, because as he led the children of Israel through the desert, he had to have patience. For they spoke against him, and they were always chiding he and Aaron, and they were against him almost from the very beginning. And so he had to exercise patience with his own people, and he learned that patience as God taught him a lesson there in Midian, and where he finds his wife and he has a child. And now God looks and God brings him back, and we'll notice that. Here we find in this verse of Scripture, the Bible says, he forsook Egypt. Now this is the second time that we find here that we see a forsaking. We noticed in verse 24, when he come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He forsook what Egypt had to offer him. But when you come to verse 27, the forsaking of Egypt is not just what Egypt had to offer, but now he is literally forsaking the land and the people of Egypt, and he's going to depart. He's going to leave. And there's sometimes questions about this forsaking. He left when he was 40 years of age. He left there, goes to the desert, as we've just noticed. But the Bible says here the key part of this: now he is not afraid of the wrath of the king. He was afraid before, and that's why he ran. But now he's not afraid. He has no fear. Turn over, if you would, to the book of Exodus, and we'll look at some verses here tonight. In Exodus chapter 2, Exodus chapter number 2 and verse number 15. Let's look in verse 11 to get the passage here. It says, "And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out to his brethren and looked on the burdens, and spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out of the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said unto him that did the wrong, Wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killed the Egyptians? And Moses feared and said, Surely this thing is known. And when Pharaoh heard this, he sought to slay Moses. Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well." Now here we find the account that we've been talking about, where Moses sees an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, and Moses kills the Egyptian. He sees that there's nobody around. He thinks he does it in private and that it will not be known. And so he buries the Egyptian in the sand, and the next day he comes and he finds two Hebrews fighting, and he asks them, the one that had done wrong, why this was taking place. And he said, "Are you going to kill me too?" And so Moses knew that the man that had been saved by him killing the Egyptian had gone out and told everybody what had happened, and Moses certainly was going to be a prince of Israel. And this man said, "Who made thee a prince and a judge over us?" intendest thou to kill me like you did the Egyptian? And so all of a sudden Moses realizes that this thing is known, and he had to leave because of the fear of the king. And he had to leave there because of the fear that Pharaoh was going to slay Moses, going to kill Moses. Now his parting was good because it left him, took him away from some bad conduct and some a bad creed and bad chores here. We notice here that Egypt was a vile place. You can read the history of Egypt during this time. It was as vile as any country could ever be. It was as idolatrous a country as could be. It was a place of bad influence upon Moses and all the people of Israel, and they had to depart. It was full of idolatry and all those things. The parting, they had to take care of the chores. They had to take care of, they were slaves there. The Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 1, verse number 13, the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and brick and all manner of service in the field and all their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives and then gives you the story there of how that he wanted to kill all the children. And so we find that Egypt was a bondage upon the people of Israel. This is certainly a view and a picture of what sin is to mankind. Egypt in the Bible, every time you read the word Egypt, you usually find that when the people of God left Israel and they went to Egypt, the Bible says that they went down to Egypt. Now understand that that going down was a geographical statement, that it is south of Israel, and you go down south, you go down to Egypt. But also it is a spiritual note that we can apply. Because anytime you leave the place of God's blessing, anytime you leave the place of God's honor upon you, you're going down. And Egypt is a type of sin. Egypt is a type of the world. And the Jews always were going down out of Jerusalem down to Egypt. And when they got there, they always were involved in the sins of Egypt. And they partook of those things. And certainly it was hard for them. And so they were under hard taskmasters. I'll tell you, before we get saved, we're under a hard taskmaster. The devil doesn't care about us. We're his slave. We're a slave to sin. We're a slave to Satan. We're a slave to ourselves. And today, without the Lord, people are living the same way under the bondage of sin, and they sometimes do not even realize it. And so leaving Egypt was a picture of a deliverance from the bondage of sin and the bondage of Satan. And Moses left for fear, and later on he's going to lead the people of Israel out. We find here that he faced a great danger for his actions. He feared. The Scripture tells us there in Hebrews chapter 11, that he feared the wrath of the king. He feared the wrath of that one that was over all of Israel. He faced a great danger because of his actions. And the Scripture tells us that the Pharaoh desired to kill him. We read that there in the book of Exodus chapter 2. And so the wrath was there. It was not the wrath of some little nobody. It was the wrath of the king of, really the king of the world. That known world of that time, the king of Egypt. And Proverbs 16:14 tells us the wrath of the king is a terrible thing. Moses could have been wiped out immediately because just a decree of the Pharaoh, and so he has to depart. He has a peril for his faith, and he, in spite of the wrath, Moses had courage to leave, and God had to restrain Pharaoh. You see, the Scripture tells us that God is in control of the affairs of mankind. It doesn't matter how strong a man thinks he is, he's still under the control of God. It doesn't matter how strong a country think that they are, God still has total control over the affairs of mankind, over the affairs of that particular nation and particular people. And God certainly, I'm sure, restrained Pharaoh because it was in his heart, according to the book of Exodus, is in his heart to kill Moses. Pharaoh wasn't too friendly to Moses anyway. And I mean that Moses had not been one of the better people of the kingdom. And God had to control the wrath of this man Pharaoh. Moses stood before him many times, as we will find in the next lesson or so. We'll find that Moses stood before him many times, and Pharaoh could have destroyed him just with a spoken word. But yet he was always talking with Moses. He was always dealing with Moses, and he tried to barter with Moses and did so many things to try to get Moses and the people of Israel to stay, and tried to trick them and warn them. And so God certainly did take control, and no harm came to this man, Moses. Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord." Strange statement, because where they were, let's go back to Exodus 14. We'll just go to that. Exodus chapter 14. Here they are at the Red Sea, and the people of Israel are complaining, as always. And they said, "It's better that we just stay." And Moses said, "Fear not, and stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Fear not." Now, it takes a strong faith to be able to say, "Fear not," in the midst of destruction. In the midst of, and in a moment that could take place, the people of the army of Egypt could have come upon them, and was coming upon them, and Moses stood there at the Red Sea there, and he parted the water by the power of God. Of course, we know the story. They came across on dry ground. But Moses said, "Fear not." He didn't fear the wrath of Pharaoh now. 40 years has passed. No longer does he fear the Pharaoh that was after him because he murdered an Egyptian. But now Moses stands as the spokesman for God, and he tells the people of Israel, "Do not fear." And he told them to stand and see the salvation of the Lord. God's wrath is far greater than the wrath of any king and any man that would stand. And so now he tells them just to be still. You're going to see something. You're going to experience something. You're going to see the hand of God, and you're going to see the deliverance of the Lord. And this was his faith in action. And Moses said, "Today the Lord will deliver, and we'll not see them again forever. Not see them anymore forever. Egypt is no longer a part of us. Egypt is no longer going to trouble us. And the army of Egypt is going to be destroyed. Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Sometimes when we're in peril and sometimes when we're in trouble, we think we've got to do something. I've got to do something. And really, sometimes the best thing we can do is just let the Lord do it for us. Just stand still. Let God work and God have His way. And of course, this did with Moses. We certainly can say that Moses' faith was persistent. He wasn't hot and cold. He wasn't in and out. His faith was the same faith from the very beginning that his parents had until the time that he died. He was persistent with his faith. The Bible says there in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27, our text, says, "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king." And the next three words says, "For he endured." Endurance. For he endured all the struggles, all the problems, all the denials. Now we come down to the times that Moses stands before the Pharaoh and he says, "Let my people go." And time after time after time, Pharaoh denied him and tried to trick him and tried to bargain with him or that he might have reason to keep them there for a little bit, let them go a little ways into the promised land, but don't go far. Leave your family here. Leave different things here. And you know, the world always wants to barter with us. The devil always wants us to stay a little bit in his world. But I'm glad when you get saved, thank God we're no longer in the kingdom of darkness, we're in the kingdom of His Son. And that we are no longer a part of that. But Pharaoh had continually denied Moses' request, and again, but yet Moses endured. He kept on keeping on. Only after the 10th plague was the request yielded. And of course we know that 10th plague was the death of the firstborn, of everyone that did not have the blood applied to their doorpost. Really, I wish we had time tonight to go into that particular passage and how that Moses came and those different things that were asked, and we may do that in the future, those 10 plagues of Egypt. And on that 10th one, that was when the death angel came, and the firstborn of every family, the firstborn of their flocks, the firstborn of their cattle, the firstborn of Egypt died. Now we think of that, and I mentioned this some time back, we think of that sometimes as the firstborn being little boys running around the house or a little girl running the house, and the firstborn. But you know, the firstborn could be 50 years old or 60. The firstborn could be an elder person. The firstborn of Egypt died. And after all the denials, Moses still had his faith enduring. That speaks highly of him. That speaks highly of those that character of Moses and his faith. He was disapproved by his countrymen. He was disapproved by the harsh reaction of Pharaoh. Exodus chapter 5, verse 20 and 21 gives us that. There's difficulty. Look at Exodus chapter number 10. Exodus chapter 10 and verse number 1. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart." Now that wasn't good news. God says, Moses, you go into Pharaoh, but I'm going to tell you right off the bat, he's not going to listen. I have hardened his heart. God was putting Pharaoh in a position, and God was working in the life of Moses and his people that he might deliver them. And so Moses is told to go in and unto Pharaoh again, but I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him. Moses, it's your responsibility to go to Pharaoh. Pharaoh's going to say no because I have hardened his heart, that I might show these signs before him. So the endurance of Moses' faith was through all the denials and the disapproval of his own people, the difficulty that he had with this, the times of compromise. Four times Pharaoh tried to and did offer a compromise to Moses and the people of Israel to keep them in the land of Egypt, but yet his faith endured. His faith continued on. Faith that is real, I put here, will not compromise truth. If we have a real faith in God, our faith will withstand the difficulties. Our faith will withstand the disapproval and the problems and all the various ways that the world tries to get us to compromise. Real faith will stand upon the principles of the Word of God. It'll stand upon truth. And certainly we find that Moses had real faith. The reason that he had the real faith, it was possible for him to see him who is invisible. That goes right back to verse number 1 of Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Noah, by faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen. Now we find Moses has that same thing given to him, and we see that he sees him who is invisible, things not seen. And Moses' faith endured the test of time, and he saw the individual perception that God was who he said he was, that God was the deliverer, and Moses kept his eyes upon the Lord. His eyes saw that one that was invisible. He saw the working of God. He saw the ability of God. He saw the direction of God. He saw the deliverance of God. He just saw the things that were invisible to everybody else around him. That's that individual perception that we have as a child of God. We know God is going to deliver us. You and I tonight that have any understanding of the Scripture at all, we know God is going to deliver His people. And as the Jew were His slaves and in bondage, and God delivered them by Moses, thank God one day our Christ and our Lord is going to come and He's going to deliver us. We find here that these last verses of Hebrews chapter 11 comes after you read those last verses, you have the first two verses of chapter 12. And what an encouragement it is to be inspired to continue on and to go on and to serve God. Chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Wherefore?" Now we've gone through all these things. Hebrews 11, we've read that, we've looked at it. And the writer of Hebrews says, "Therefore, because of what you've just read, seeing we are also compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses," here's what we're to do. "Let us lay aside every weight and every sin that doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Because of the faith of Moses and these Old Testament characters, thank God I can serve Him and I can fight the battle and I can see Him and see that great cloud of witnesses that's before us. This great cloud of witnesses in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, is this crowd that we're studying in Hebrews chapter 11. We see their faith. We see how God used them. We see how God blessed them because of their faith. Therefore, or wherefore, we can do also. We can look and we can fight. We can lay aside every weight. We can lay aside all the sins that easily beset us. And we can run the race with patience. But the only one way to run the race, looking unto Jesus. The only way we're going to win the race is through Christ. The only way we're going to win the race is because of Him. Looking unto Jesus, He's the author and He's the finisher. You know what the finisher is? If you turn back to the last pages of the Word of God, in the book of Revelation, now remember, He's the author and finisher of our faith. In Revelation, I've got so many pages after Revelation, it's hard to get to the last part of it. The Apostle John writes in Revelation chapter 22, verse number 20, "He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly." There is Jesus, the one that returns for us. "And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." That's the finish. He authored it. He's the author of our faith. He carries us through the valleys of life, the problems of life, by faith. And one of these days, He's going to finish it and say, "Amen. So be it. What is, is." And so here we find the perception that Moses had. He saw Him who was invisible. You know, tonight, you and I, as believers in the Lord, we see Him who is invisible. We've never seen His facial features. By the way, I don't think He probably looked like anything that's depicted of the Lord. If He was to walk in tonight, I doubt we'd recognize Him because we don't know what He looks like. But we see Him, the eye of faith. We have never handled Him, as John said the disciples have. We haven't looked upon Him, but we see Him who is invisible. Let us run the race, therefore, with patience, setting aside all the weights and all the sins that easily beset us because He has finished our faith. The Scripture says, "He that begun a good work will perform it to the day of redemption." I believe that is a first interpretation. I believe that is a verse to the saved. He that begun a good work in you, He will finish it to the day of redemption. It'll be over. He'll complete it in us. And by faith we see Him. By faith we look upon Him. Moses did not say he saw the one that was invisible, but it says seeing. That is a present tense, continual, proverbial action of seeing the Lord. If I say, I saw Brother Bradley yesterday, that means it's in the past. But if I'm seeing him every day, that means I'm looking and seeing him all the time. And Moses said he was seeing he that was invisible. It wasn't that he saw him as a baby and as a child. It wasn't that he just saw him in his early life. And it wasn't, and we didn't go into the passage tonight, probably should have. It wasn't that he saw him in the burning bush. You see, when he was in the desert, God came to Moses and said, all right, Moses, it's time for you to go. And God put upon him this, made him come over and look upon a bush that was burning, but yet it was not consumed. And God spoke out of that. That wasn't Moses just seeing the Lord. But Moses saw the Lord continually. He was in a continual process of seeing Him who is invisible. Moses had a continual action of looking to God. May that be our thoughts. May that be our desires. That we not say, well, I experienced the Lord a long time ago. But may we say, I'm experiencing the Lord every day. It's not just that we became a Christian at a particular time, but that we are living for the Lord day by day. We are seeing Him as invisible. So I pray as we look at these scriptures concerning Moses and his faith that were so persistent, he endured. And this one verse tonight, by faith he forsook Egypt. He didn't fear the king no more. He didn't fear the king as he left, as he killed that man. But now he is leaving Egypt. He does not fear the king because his faith endured. And his faith endured because he saw the Messiah. He saw God continually in his life giving him victory. May that be our story. May that be our life in the work of Christ. Let's stand together tonight.